Now I want you to turn to our chapter in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, and keep in your mind that it was Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, that wrote this Gospel, and he's telling us about the representative man, the Son of Man, who came to seek and to save that which is lost, and he came to tell of his 3.5 years ministry down in this here in this world where we live. And if you keep that background, keep that in your mind, I think you can relate a little bit better to the incidents that took place. Now this one we're going to title, The Lord Jesus Making Straight Crooked People, or Making Crooked People Straight. Sometimes you and I maybe get bent over. And I marvel at some of you folks how that you bring your chest back even if you're on a chair. And you sit up straight. And my, that's good. And so the Lord loves to make crooked people straight. And I think we'll find in this story that has been true of all of us. And it relates clear back to our first parents. Do you know that at the beginning God made man upright? And woman too, upright. We find that Satan came in and even caused him to, I suppose, bend down and hide from the presence of God because of disobedience and sin. And our Bible tells us through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And sin has a lasting effect upon the human race. And I would say this morning, that all of our ills and pains and Satan, if you look back far enough, has come from this three-letter word, S-I-N. There was no such a thing known as bowing over, bowed over, and not be able to stand up and look right, upright into heaven. No such a thing before sin came in. This is what sin has caused. And even though many of us here are saved and know we're saved and we're not going into a lost eternity, yet there is a great measure of the effects of sin still showing even on the new creation. That's why we're looking forward to the time when it will all be lifted. Oh, and he said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. So we're going to read the verses 10, that is Luke 13, and we're going to read verses 10 to 17. 7 full verses. Well, here we go. If you have Luke 13, keep your Bibles open and follow with me. And here we go. And he, that is Jesus, was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now that word infirmity maybe is too big a word for you and I to know the meaning, but it just means weakness. She had a spirit of weakness. And I don't believe there's one here that has never felt a spirit of weakness. She had a spirit of weakness. 18 years. And was bowed. She was bowed and she was bowed together. And could in no wise lift up herself. No doubt she may have tried in those 18 years, but the spirit of weakness had her bowed down. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Mm-hmm. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. Why, he was angry. He was mad. And why was he that way? Because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. And this is what he said unto the people. He didn't even look to Jesus to talk. But he looked and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work in them. Therefore, they ought to come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. And the Lord answered him. And what did the Lord say? Thou hypocrite! Doth not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass or his donkey from the stall and lead him away to watering, to the water hole? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound? Do you know that Satan, it's possible for Satan to bind people today, and which I believe he does, but no one but the Lord Jesus can loose them. Satan hath bound these 18 years. He loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day. And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Don't you love to think of those 3.5 years that the Lord Jesus was here amongst men, and how he loosed those that were bound by Satan, and gave the blind to see and the lame to walk. I love to go over those 3 years, and I believe that his message was twofold. It was to loose and to unbind and to cause to stand upright physically people who were physically impaired. But then I believe the big lesson behind it all was that we might be able to stand spiritually even in the midst of our inabilities naturally to stand for the Lord and to be settled and established and to know him. And even if he should say, my grace is sufficient for you, and I'm going to meet you in all of your need, even in the midst of your infirmities. That is a greater blessing than if you get a new body. I mean, if you get the physical health, because you are able to glorify God in a weak body. So you see, if the Lord sees fit for you to run up and down the hall, thank God for it. But if you have to just go slowly along and wheel the chair, but if your actions and attitude just shows that Jesus is in your heart, then you've got an exceptional victory, don't you? And sometimes I must say this, people that are incapacitated, I often tell the story of Mary Miller. I went to see her so often. Her fingers were so gnarled that she couldn't hold anything in them. And she couldn't lift up her arms. And she was bedfast. And I thought that I would go to encourage her in her bed as she laid there in infirmity and in weakness. And I always said when I left Mary's bedside, I was made stronger and healthier, and I was helped even maybe more than I helped Mary because of what she had in her. She had the grace of God triumphing in that body. And she learned a lesson that some of us takes a long time to learn, that in our weakness we are made strong. Now that's hard to understand, but I see some of you smiling and working your hands. You know what it is. Well, now, we're going to look at this just a little bit closer. Do you know that during those 3.5 years, when the Lord Jesus was doing this kind of work amongst the people, there was a religious group of people that just seemed to follow him all around. And what they were taken up with was a religious system. And they were taken up with practicing religious acts. And while they were even maybe practicing their religious acts and going through religious ceremonies, they were doing it maybe down to the scratch. And maybe when they got home, they were mean as a bear, even to the family. Isn't that awful? And maybe when they got back to work, they were ready to put themselves on a pedestal and make everybody else sweat. That's true. And that kind of people that just followed him around. Followed him around and tried to spoil his work. And that's what you find here. Here this woman, he goes into the synagogue and he's teaching, and it's there at Capernaum. I had the privilege, I know I told you before, of being in the Holy Land in 1969. And there's still a synagogue at Capernaum that they just uncovered from the debris of almost 2,000 years ago. And there stands this synagogue. And it's the only one around there. So I say it must be the same synagogue that I had visited and actually looked in the inside of it. So you see, when we read these stories, don't think of them being too ancient, because they were just back not too many years ago. Especially as you get older, you'll find that 80 years goes like that. Yes. And Ida, she can say 100 years goes like that. So it's not too long ago. And here he was in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And here was this woman in verse 11. She had this spirit of weakness and infirmity 18 years and bowed together. She couldn't raise herself up. No wise lift up herself. Oh, to see her helplessness and then to see Jesus move with compassion. Oh, I love to think of that. I love to think of the Lord Jesus being filled with compassion. And mark you, even today he's filled with compassion.
Amen.
Oh, I love to think of him, even though he's so high, so holy, and on the throne, he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Just like this woman had the spirit of infirmity. He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as we often say, and I believe I heard our brother in his prayer, he knows, he loves, and he cares. Ida, how do you think he knew that this woman had this spirit for 18 years? I often marvel at that. I don't know what happened to you 18 years ago. In fact, I couldn't even say I don't know what happened to my wife 18 years ago. Yeah. But the Lord Jesus, he is all knowing. And isn't that wonderful? And he's all powerful. And he's one who is omnipresent. And I believe he's present here in our meeting this morning. And he's keeping things in godly order. Well, so he's moved with compassion, and he says, woman, first of all in verse 12, it says he called her to him. I wonder how she got to him. If she was bowed down, she couldn't even lift herself up. But I can remember this well, that our guide said, when we get up around Capernaum and Nazareth, you be careful and don't let your feelings get away with you, or you may not have enough of money to pay your way back home to the United States. There were so many people that had infirmities there that many of them was crawling. And even adults, people your age, was actually crawling on their hands and knees and asking to be helped and given the money and so on. Well, she must have got to him. She must have got to him because he called her to him. And then he said unto her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmities." Mm-hmm. Now you can be loosed from your infirmities. It's possible that even a lady that's like sitting over here could be raised up healthy in a moment of time. But she could even be loosed from her infirmities where she actually is. You know, there are often times when we seem to have infirmities and we'll even say, "Why did this ever happen to me? What did I do that this happened to me?" And oftentimes we just wonder, "Why me?" Well, you know, it might be a blessing in disguise. If the Lord looses you from that kind of a spirit of attitude and say, "Well, in the midst of my weakness, the Lord will be strong for me." And Jesus is near to comfort and cheer just when I need him most. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love that. But then he laid his hands on me. Don't you love to shake hands and lay your hands on someone who has been loosed from their infirmity? I often watch some of my dear sisters here just laying their hands on you. Here's one now laying their hands on one that is infirm. And isn't it a blessed thing to identify yourself and to think of his hand? Oh, he even laid them on a leper. And the leper was healed. Those same hands that he laid on a leper or laid on that blind man's eyes. Those same hands that were soon to be nailed through with a hammer and nails on the cross. Those same hands he laid on her. Oh, you can't help but think of virtue going out of them, can you? Amen. Oh, it's a blessed thing to read these things. And it says immediately she was made straight. And then what did she do? Made straight and glorified God. You see, have you glorified God since you have been made straight? That's the point. That's the point. You glorify God. You speak well of God. And you become even a worshiper. But here you are, these group of religious people, very religious on the Sabbath. Oh yes, the Sabbath day. Why, some of these here religious people, they wouldn't even buy a sandwich on the Sabbath day in a public place. They're too religious. And they make themselves to look more religious and more holy than even the Lord himself. They would try to do that. And they aren't happy inside. It's all outside. And here they are. They begin to find fault. And because he healed them on the Sabbath day. Oh, how sad that is. When he saw this poor soul that was more valuable than the whole world and had compassion on her, and he laid his hands on her and healed her. Oh, and what a blessing that is. And these religious people, while they found fault with it and said, "You got 6 days to work and you got 6 days that you can come and have this done. Why do it on the Sabbath?" And then the Lord says to them, "Thou hypocrite." And that's exactly what he meant. You know what a hypocrite is? Mm-hmm. He wears a false face. Mm-hmm. He's two-faced.
He's an actor.
And you know, you and I smiling here this morning, are we going to smile when we get back in our beds? And even that nurse comes and wants to scrub you when you want to rest. Can you smile up at her and say, "Well, I believe that the Lord wants me to be clean"? And isn't that a blessing? Well, that's what you call glorifying God and living a victorious life, isn't it? And that's what this dear woman was doing. And yet these hypocrites, these two-faced people, were finding fault. Well, he says, why, which one of you won't take your colt and your donkeys on the Sabbath day and give them a drink of water? Why shouldn't this woman have living water? Why shouldn't she have victory over her infirmity? Isn't that far more important than a donkey or a horse? But you know, I have seen people put more premium on a dog than a cat than they do human beings. Do you believe that? Yes. Well, they say the poor dog, he doesn't know, the poor cat doesn't know, and so on. And they put more premium, more value on a dog or a cat than they do a human soul. And the Lord Jesus, he came in order that he might bring many sons to glory and that he might save the infirm and the weak ones of this world, that they might glorify him. You think a dog and a cat can glorify God? I don't believe they can. You see, when God made you, he originally breathed into you the breath of life, and you become a living soul to know him. And what a blessing this is. So, I believe, do you believe they're still hypocrites? I'm not going to point the finger at these men on the television and all that. I'm not going to do that. I'll let you do that. I mean, you know, down underneath we know there's hypocrites today. And I do believe if you put Christianity on a commercial basis in order to gain filthy lucre, you're a hypocrite. That's for you and me and all of us. Yes, I do believe it. And look at this woman, who she was. Why, she was a daughter of Abraham. And Satan had bound her. Oh, she was a woman of faith after faithful Abraham. A woman of Abraham, a daughter. And Abraham believed God, and I believe this daughter believed God too. She believed God, and we, each one of us, are the children of Abraham through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And this morning, if you are infirm or if you can kick a football, you can still have victory over any infirmity. And you need not be bound. And you know, when Jesus said these things, he likes to reach your heart and your conscience, doesn't he? He likes to get a hold of our conscience. And what does he say here in verse 17? When he said these things, all of the adversaries, all of the enemies, all of these fault finders, all of these hypocrites were ashamed. My, isn't it a blessed thing to win victory over your enemies and to actually see them and become ashamed. They were ashamed. And the rest of the people, all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Oh, I'm so glad, aren't you, that we have a victorious Savior, a triumphant Savior. And we rejoice this morning in all the things that are done by him. Shall we close in prayer? Our time is just gone. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for this story that never grows old. And we thank thee for its effect upon each one of our hearts, minds, and consciences. We know apart from thy word, we would be in nature's darkness even today. But we bless thee we have light and life, and thou art shedding light abroad on our pathway. We want to thank thee for this home and for the good attention that it has given to each one of the guests. And we do believe, our God, that thou art in this home, and thou art in those who trust in thee, and it's a place, even in the midst of infirmity, there is rejoicing. So we commit one another to thy care, and give thanks in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Good to hear you say amen.
I know Jack.